It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen, because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. We're glad you're here.
This is Sonia.
And this is Alex. So we are going to keep this podcast short today.
Because you may have seen on social media or in our newsletter, we have an exciting announcement.
That's right. We have adopted a beautiful baby boy.
It all happened on February 19th, and we are just over the moon. We're so excited. Our birth mom was amazing, and we have now little Larson Ames. He was 6 pounds, 14 ounces, and we are so, so, so happy. If you want to hear more about our story with adoption, you could check out which episode was it, Alex?
The one called Our Story.
The episode called Our Story, which was episode number 28. We've been waiting quite a long time for this day, and we are just so, so excited to share him with the world. We're posting lots of pictures of him on Instagram and Instagram stories, so if you want to head over there, you can see our little baby boy who's sleeping in the other room right now.
So you're on your own for finding some recipes for this week, but we do have a wonderful podcast interview that Sonia recorded a few weeks ago.
That's right. I talked to Jessica Murnan of the website One Part Plant. She has just released a cookbook, One Part Plant, which has amazing plant-based recipes. And we talk a lot about her health issues and how she used diet to overcome them. And it's really special that this is the episode where we've announced our son's birth, because Jessica is actually a friend of ours. And she's one of the first people that I talked to about adoption. She is an adoptive mother, and her son, Sid, is just this precious gift. And I'm so thankful that this is the episode where we were able to announce our adopted son. So we've got lots of recipes over on our website this week you can check out. But we'll just be over here staring at Larson.
And we're going to hang up the phone before we wake him up. So enjoy the interview.
Jessica Murnan, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Hi.
So glad to have you here. And I wanted to mention that you are our podcast godmother, because you inspired us to start this podcast. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. I just think it's such a good way to connect more with people that you're connected with on the internet. Like, they can actually hear your voice, you know?
Couldn't agree more. So Jessica, you have a pretty amazing story of food and an illness and healing. And so we wanted to bring you in and share that with our listeners. So could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I have something called endometriosis, and I have stage 4. There's only 4 stages, so mine is not the best kind. But I didn't know I had it for most of my life. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 28 years old, which, you know, when I say most of my life, it's, you know, when I got my period is basically when it started, because it has to do with the lining of your uterus and the tissue that is similar to the lining of your uterus growing on other parts of your body and growing up. And so, yeah, I mean, and most women are not diagnosed with it until they are between the ages of 28 and 30. And it takes most women 10 doctors before they're diagnosed over 8 years, which is just insane that there's so many women that are suffering from this and don't know it. And I was one of them. And so, I like to always kind of throw out the symptoms just in case there's a woman listening and doesn't, you know that she has it. But some of the symptoms So it's just extremely, and you know, I will say this, I want to point out that if you have endometriosis, you could have all of these symptoms, or you could have one of them. It's, you know, it's not something that is just this cut and dry black and white disease, but so very painful periods, leg pain, back pain. You might not be able to hold your urine. Like you might pee your pants a lot or not make it to the bathroom. It might hurt when you pee, painful diarrhea, painful sex. And also sometimes a sensitivity to certain foods, and they're still figuring that out. But, so I had all of these symptoms and went to the doctor a million times about these symptoms, and I was never diagnosed until actually one of my cysts burst. And when you have endometriosis, you can oftentimes get these things called chocolate cysts, which is basically these huge cysts that are full of blood, which is disgusting that they're called chocolate cysts, but that's what they're called. A couple of cooks podcasts talking food.
Oh yeah. Chocolate We're getting cysts. Right to it here.
But, I had this, and when I was finally diagnosed, you have to get diagnosed through a surgery called laparoscopic surgery. And I think that's, again, why a lot of women aren't diagnosed. And it felt great to have a diagnosis, but it didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me feel any better. And, you know, my doctor put me on different painkillers, different birth controls. I had another surgery, and nothing was making it better for me. So they suggested that I get a hysterectomy. And at that time, I've done a lot more research to know that a hysterectomy doesn't necessarily take away the pain that you have from endometriosis. It just simply takes away your woman parts. But I was going to go ahead and go through with the hysterectomy until a friend came swooping in and did research on her own on my behalf, because she saw how in pain I was and found that a plant-based diet could help endometriosis. And so I think I probably had a 1% chance thought that it could work, that changing my diet could actually help me, because if it could help me, why hadn't any of my doctors told me? But I tried it, and it worked, and I didn't get a hysterectomy. And now I would say that 80% of my symptoms are not existent anymore.
That's incredible.
And I want to say,
how long ago was this? Yeah.
That was 6 years ago now.
Okay. And is it more widely known now that a plant-based diet can help with endometriosis?
Definitely. Well, I have a whole cookbook about it, so I hope so. I do think now, I mean, there's a really great Instagram account called Indo Diet that just focuses on foods for an endometriosis diet. And if you Google endometriosis and diet now, there's, you know, you can get tons of web pages and blog posts and articles about it and research. Whereas before, if you Googled that, there was one thing that you found. And so, and you know, times are very different now. You know, we're really connecting health and food together in more ways than we ever have. And so that information is more readily available. And now whenever I have a toothache or a headache or anything, I Google toothache and diet, headache and diet, and thinking, you know, what can I do to help? But back then, it never even crossed my mind to put those two things together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're almost kind of like a living test case of how your diet can just totally revitalize your health. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, Sonia, is that I moved to Charleston a year ago, and I really wanted to find a specialist in endometriosis. And so I researched and I found a specialist in endometriosis. And so I went to her and really just thought we'd be on the same page about everything. And I told her about how a diet had changed, and I thought she would just be like, oh yeah, duh. But she had never heard of that before. And I was just like, what is happening right now? It's like, you know, and it's not their fault that doctors aren't educated in nutrition, but so much we kind of have to take our health into our own hands and just because someone is a specialist doesn't mean that they're going to connect those dots for you.
And do you find that for other women suffering with endometriosis that they all respond similarly to diet changes like you did? Or does each person kind of have to find the diet that's right for them?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think with anything, any disease and any diet, you're going to figure out what works best for you. But I think that on a whole, that no matter what is happening in your life, whether you are just kind of tired, or maybe you're depressed, or maybe you have inflammation due to arthritis, I think that no matter who you are, and if even if you don't have any problems at all, I think that we're all going to benefit in some way from plant-based foods or a whole foods diet. And I'm not saying it's going to not make you depressed or not make you have endometriosis, because there isn't a cure to that. But it's a first step, I think, to start treating ourselves better. And then I think what's exciting is that once you start treating yourself better in that way, and maybe you aren't as sad anymore, you're like, oh gosh, I'm able to get up off the couch now to maybe go work out, which is not something that you were able to do before. And then all of a sudden your mind is open to maybe going on a hike, or I don't know. I think that plant-based foods or changing your diet can be a first step to going to the next level. It's not a cure. And I think that's important. It's because I think there's a lot of websites and, you know, people that are saying that this is a cure-all thing. It's not a cure. It's a first step to getting back to feeling like yourself.
And let's talk about how it's not necessarily giving something up either. I think a lot of people think, oh man, I have to give up all the things that I love. And I know for both of us, both you and I, that once we changed our diets, we realized, wow, we're actually gaining really delicious, wonderful foods. And we didn't even think about the things yes. that we had to give up.
Totally. And I think that's the, you know, with my cookbook and with my website, my whole mission, it's called One Part Plant. And it's to encourage people to eat one plant-based meal a day. And it's not to, you know, give up everything that you love, but maybe things that you start loving, like you said, are things that you didn't expect. And I also think too, that once you change your diet, I don't know if this happened to you, but my taste buds started to change and started to, you know, it's, I think it's similar to yeah. when someone quits smoking, all of a sudden they taste things differently and like things are
absolutely,
just, you know, and so there were things that I thought were disgusting before and now are some of my favorite foods because my taste buds have changed.
Yeah, the exact same thing happened to me as well. And it takes a bit of time. I mean, over months it changed. But I found myself really craving some of these foods that I had never thought of craving before, like broccoli or sweet potatoes, or even I'm to the point now where I eat raw brownies, and I think they are actually brownies, and people have to remind me they're not. Okay, you're right. They are a little bit healthier tasting, but my taste buds have totally changed to really crave these wholesome foods.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think that's an important thing to say too, that it does take time. And I, you know, I think it probably took me a good 6 months plus to fully accept that this was my new way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had so much of my connections to friends and family, and also celebrations were so associated with certain types of food or food, like going out for pizza and a beer, or at Christmas having a big honkin' ham and, you know, different sides. Like I did feel at first like those things were being taken away from me. And I will say that I was mad about it. But when you start to experience the shift in not only the way that you feel, you know, in my stomach, like not having cramps, but actually just my eyes being more wide open, me being a nicer person, me being more caring and loving more. It's like, you know, I can't really deny that this is working. And maybe I just figure out ways to cook those foods in a way that I can eat them.
I like that message. Eating whole foods will make you nicer.
Really, they do make you nicer. I swear they do.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about your cookbook. I would assume that you've included some of those recipes that you now make that are plant-based that are just as fulfilling as some of the foods that you miss. Can you give us a few examples?
Sure. There's one thing that I used to have at every holiday with my family and at every family reunion. It's, if someone is from the Midwest, it's called Johnny Marzetti. And
I've never heard of that.
It's so Midwest. It's actually a fun fact. It was actually created in Columbus, Ohio by, you know, that line of salad dressings called T. Marzetti. It's like, they're not necessarily good for you salad dressings, but the woman that started that company was named Teresa Marzetti, and she had a restaurant in Columbus, Ohio called Marzetti's. And this dish originated there, and it's if you Google it, it's like a super Midwestern dish. It's a casserole that is cheese and meat and celery and green peppers and tomato sauce all baked in a casserole dish. And I really missed Johnny Marzetti. So I figured out a way to recreate that by using a cashew cream sauce instead of the dairy and cream that was used in it. I mashed up. And when I say this, people are thinking like, really? That sounds kind of healthy. But I'm telling you, my family totally digs it and they think that it tastes the same. But I mash up lentils with some onions and garlic and some seasoning to kind of mimic that hamburgery texture. And I mean, the meat that was in that thing wasn't really the best quality meat. So the lentils aren't that far off. Like, no one was making it with like really fine bison burger that my grandma killed herself or something. This was like this like crappy hamburger. So that's something that I recreated. Mashed potatoes and gravy are like one of my most favorite foods. My gravy in the book is probably one of my most favorite recipes. And it's whole foods plant-based gravy. It's not a gravy that's made with like weird vegan substitute flour and butter and lard. It's just made of whole foods, which is exciting.
Is it mushroom gravy or how do you
It's a mushroom gravy. I use a little bit of wine. I use some cashews and some veggie broth. My secret to making really good cream-based dishes, like a cream that can substitute real cream, is when I blend my cashews, I blend them with veggie broth as opposed to water. And I think it really gives it a much richer taste than just blending your cashews with water. Because if anyone's ever made any sort of plant-based dish, it's like, soak your cashews, blend it with water. It's like, well, it's kind of good, but the veggie broth really brings it out a little bit more.
We've been making some cashew creams lately and tried that with broth too. And that I can wholeheartedly agree. It brings
it just ups the game, you know?
Exactly. Wow. So those are some unexpectedly
Johnny Marzetti
recipes. Yeah, I got to try that one. Any other ones to note? Maybe a sweet dish?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's lots. I think one of my most favorite sweets in there are these peppermint honey cups. And those were created for my love of peppermint patties, which used to be my all-time favorite candy. And I would get that peppermint patty. I would just get it from the store and I would think about it all the way home, like exactly how I was going to eat it. It's like a psycho. And I would always freeze it. I would put it in the fridge, wait for like an hour and then eat it. So these peppermint cups have a similar vibe to a peppermint patty, but I used honey and peppermint extract. and mix those together. And it's funny because I'm not a huge honey person. Like, I don't love honey straight out of a jar, but there's something about the honey when you mix it with the peppermint that really tastes like the center of a peppermint patty. So, so I have those, and then you cover those in chocolate, and it's 4 ingredients. It's ridiculous. And they taste like there's a lot more ingredients in there.
All right. I am ready to get your book. I haven't gotten it yet, but I can't wait to check out those recipes. So tell us, when does your book come out?
It comes out.
And how can people get a hold of it?
Sure. It comes out February 21st in the US. And then it comes out March 23rd in the UK, New Zealand, Australia, part of the world, which I'm very excited that it's over there too, because I think Australia and New Zealand is just killing it right now in the plant-based world. They just have such beautiful, well, I was going to say beautiful photos. I haven't tasted the food, but everybody that I know that's over there just like has the prettiest Instagrams of like the most beautiful dishes ever. So, but I think they're doing a really good job over there getting creative and inventive. And you can order it on Amazon, IndieBound, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
That's fantastic. Great. And I know you also have a new podcast. So you have two podcasts. One is just your straight up one part plant podcast, where you talk to fabulous guests about wellness and other types of lifestyle inspiration. And then you have a new podcast coming out. I think you just released it. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, it's called The Cookbook Deal. And I recorded the entire process of making a cookbook. And I even recorded myself meeting with publishers in New York, which at that point I had no idea if I was going to even get a cookbook deal. But I thought if I did, this will be good to record and I'll make it into a podcast. And then it also just, you know, it's not all happy moments. There's some, I kind of have a couple meltdowns during it. it's definitely, it's very documentary style. You know, I know that you listened to an episode and you compared it to Startup. Was just, it's exactly, it's, you know, it's kind of the startup of making a cookbook. And I really tell you everything that happens, like what advance checks really are and how I had to pay, how much money I had to pay for the cookbook shoot. I'm just kind of putting it all out there because I think the cookbook world is kind of mysterious, right? You just like a cookbook lands on your doorstep that you ordered and you don't know exactly what went into it. And I think it's kind of fun for people to know that.
Yeah, I loved it. When I like the first minute, I was like, oh my goodness, getting chills. Like, this is like Startup, but for cookbooks. So I love that. And I love, yeah, just being able to know the backstory of something. I think it's easy as a consumer to take something for granted and just see a book and say, oh, okay, here's a book. But to really know all the things that go into the back end, it's really eye-opening. So
yeah, and you know,
I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah. And you know, what's one last thing about it is I interviewed a couple different authors too. I kind of weaved in some of their narrative too. And I don't know if you know, but Thug Kitchen, I didn't know anything about them. I don't know them, but I thought they would be an interesting person to interview because they just exploded. Like they went from having
that's fun. I didn't know you had them on there.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a very short thing, but what's amazing to me is that Michelle from Thug Kitchen, she was working at a grocery store and making $23,000 a year when she got her book deal. And she had to, advance checks take so long to get the first one. And she had to have a real conversation with her publisher and agent and say, look, I make $23,000 a year. I don't have enough money to buy food for the cookbook and for my life. So I'm going to need that advance check now. And it's just, I'm excited about those behind the scene things too, that it's not as glamorous as social media makes it look. You know, here's someone that didn't have enough money to make their cookbook.
All right. Well, we will place all the links to Jessica's book, her new podcast, and everything else in the show notes. Where else can people find you, Jessica?
I'm jessicamernan.com. And if you just type in onepartplant.com, it will redirect there. I'm Jessica Mernan on Instagram and my podcast, One Part Podcast, and the cookbook deal.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. It has been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Can't wait to keep following you and all your delicious plant-based recipes.
Thank you.